This is Sunday Side Up, a presentation of Sarkis Tarzian Incorporated. Here's your host, Barb Richards.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Barb Richards, and this is Sunday Side Up. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. It's always complimentary on my part that you do that, because I feel so good that you tuned us in this weekend. A very special show. You're going to find it very interesting. Very excited to bring to the microphone today Chuck Surak of Sweetwater Sound. Good morning.
Good morning, Barb. What a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks. Thanks for joining us. So, beautiful campus out there on US 30 that I always encourage people to stop by and just kind of take a tour, because if you have the retail store, it's open to the public. But it's just amazing what you've done out there. Talk to us a little bit about that facility there on 30.
Absolutely. Well, I am very fortunate. We've got a gorgeous facility and so blessed to be able to have it. It's a culmination of many, many years of being in business and maybe not having exactly the right atmosphere or the right place that I wanted. But we were fortunate about 6 years ago that we needed to build a new building. And so we looked at all the best practices around the country and really tried to pull out all the stops. I realized that my employees spend a lot of time at the company, so I wanted to make sure that it was a comfortable place for them. And of course, we have guests that we entertain from all around the world. So we really did everything we could to make it a fun and inviting sort of space.
And when you were building that space, was the time when people in other communities were looking at creating campuses. And that's what I call your Sweetwater facility, is really a campus.
It is a campus, and it's continuing to grow. I would have never thought, you know, back in 2005 and 6, we were designing that building. We had 200 employees. Today we have 550 employees, and that's through the recession and everything. So we've run out of room, and we've just broken ground to start some more.
Isn't it amazing that maybe because you moved to the new facility, you improved your business practices, you improved the quality of people that you hired to bring into the community, that all kind of snowballs and makes for a better business and a better profit line.
You're very intuitive. That's exactly what happened. We moved into the building and we just got a little more credibility, a little more stature in the industry, and we started having guests come visit us from all over the country. My employees were more inspired, so of course they did a little bit better job, which then allowed us to entice other great employees to move to Fort Wayne, and it's just really exploded. And I think the campus and just the drive for excellence always has really made Sweetwater grow.
And you have certain particular things that you look for in employees, or you're very specific about who you want to have work at Sweetwater Sound. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's actually pretty simple. We just want people that are energized and excited. We call it fire in the belly. They may or may not have the right technical background. They need to have some technical background, of course. But we really want people that are people. Mm-hmm. It's a people business. All of my businesses, I like to think of them as people businesses. This one happens to be selling music equipment and the dreams of doing music. But it really is a people business. The products have come, gone, and changed. In my 34 years, they've changed a lot.
We're talking off air about reel-to-reel tape, which, of course, is how your business started, in the back of a van, which I believe the Beetle van was on display there for a little while at Sweetwater Sound.
1966 VW bus.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd been on the road as a musician. I play saxophone and keyboards, yeah. And I came home and started a recording studio in the VW bus.
Did you decide to come back at home due to family? Is that was the big reason, or you just decided being on that road wasn't your scene?
Making $50 a week, even back in 1978 and 77, was not very much money. That was the downside of being on the road. But I was fortunate. I got to play all over the country, almost every state. Yeah. I played in a Holiday Inn-type band, so 6 nights a week we'd play.
Did you do any recording sessions when you were?
I did recordings all over the world, or all over the country, I mean. And back then, there weren't a lot of recording studios. You usually went into radio stations and recorded at the radio stations and learned how to use the radio equipment. And that's what I did, and so it became a natural for me to come home and start a recording studio, and it was right at the infancy of inexpensive recording equipment.
It really was, yeah. And it's amazing how much technology has changed everything. We've all gone from doing things manually, i.e. reel-to-reel tape and editing with a razor blade and splicing tape, to being done digitally. Did we ever foresee that, Chuck? I don't know.
I had a client in my early days that was a chain of grocery stores, and every grocery store had a slightly different name, but they were all Super Value stores. And the advertising agency that I worked with would bring in, or we'd record an announcer, and at the end, he wanted me to change every name. And it was about 150 different stores, and it was razor blade and tape, and I edited, and it was only a few years later that the digital editing came out, and I thought about that so many times, how much easier it would have been, but I would spend hours all through the night, because these were weekly commercials. I had to get them done before the next morning.
Right. Isn't it funny how quickly time rolls by when you truly are doing something that you're passionate about? And as you said, energized about. Here you worked all night on it. And it was okay.
Oh, it was absolutely okay. Mm-hmm. And I've been so blessed that through my whole life, I've never had to work. You know, I've not had to work a day in my life because I love what I do. I love the people I'm around. And I'm up. I was up this morning at 5 o'clock and into work, getting some stuff done before I came to see you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have been blessed also with the same with the radio career, being able to do what I love, being able to pour that passion back into the community. And that, of course, is another whole side of Sweetwater Sound that we want to talk to or talk about today, because you live and work here. You wanted to be part of this community, and you have definitely walked the walk and talked the talk. Talk about some of the community involvement from Sweetwater Sound.
Oh, thank you. You're so kind. I came here as a teenager. My mom and dad came back to Fort Wayne. My mom was from Fort Wayne, and Fort Wayne's always been my home. And I feel it's a responsibility, plus I want to do it. And so we're so fortunate that Sweetwater has grown to a position and size that we can give back to the community. And that's one of our big charters right now. And we support over 400 nonprofit organizations every year.
That is a huge number. That is amazing. 400. Think about that. 400 nonprofits that you help in some sort of way, whether it be a monetary donation, a time, a commitment, whatever you might be giving away in the way of product. And you've won a national award for that, for your help with the Philharmonic, right?
Yeah, we've won quite a few national awards and state awards. And those are all fine and nice, but it's really about the organization. And we're fortunate to be in a position that we can help. And there are not a lot of companies left in Fort Wayne that can do it like in the old days. I mean, there's some new companies that are, and that's great. And I'd surely want to encourage them and try and talk them into helping. But these organizations need help. You know, there's not as much free money as there used to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad that we're able to do it. It's our community, and it helps everyone in our community.
What high school did you graduate from?
Went to Wayne High School.
Oh, my gosh.
Graduated in 1975. I went there the second year the school was open.
Oh, yeah. I went to Homestead.
Okay.
So we were the first graduating class that went all the way through that high school. So
sure.
Very much at a time that the community was really growing and stuff. So did you foresee this how far did you go when you started to think about a new campus and how you wanted that to be created and how you wanted it to be successful? Where did that vision start with you?
Well, it probably started when I was little. I was always an entrepreneur, and failure is not an option for me. I say that a lot, but I don't fail at many things. I believe in success. And so did I know exactly what the picture of Sweetwater would look like when I started it 34 years ago? Absolutely not. That was days of Volkswagen bus and taking my receipts to the accountant in a grocery bag.
And as you said, just the beginnings of sound recording, we recorded our wedding on reel to reel tape.
Wow.
I'm married a long time though too, but you're right at the very beginning of all of that.
Yep. And no, I could have never foreseen it, but I've been in a position that I enjoy technology. I can adapt to change pretty quickly, and maybe I can't see years in advance, but I can see months and weeks and have a pretty good idea how to drive the business.
Did you always want to build a building that was green?
I have practiced green principles for as long as I can remember.
Really?
It just makes sense. I mean, why would you not recycle? Why would you not be careful what you use? There has to be a limit to our resources in this world. So, yes, my wife and I always have. Even at our old location, we practiced green as much as we could, but we knew that when we were building the new building, it would be a great example of leadership that we could show in Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. So we started the whole concept of doing a LEEDS certified, and it stands for Leadership and Energy and Environmental Design, kind of the ultimate in awards, if you will. It's a national award, and we got a platinum award, the only music store in the world, one of 200 businesses actually in the whole world that got that award. It was the right thing to do, and frankly, it was also good sound business. Most of the things that we put in place were things like computers to turn the lights off when we left the room, or the one that I always think is funny and I never thought I would talk about is we have urinals that don't flush. And every one of those urinals that don't flush saves water and sewage, and we save about 500,000 gallons of water and sewage every year by having those. And if you come into our restrooms, they smell clean and there's no problem there and that sort of thing.
Well, you know, as you know, we've brought many an artist through
Sure.
Sweetwater Sound. You were kind enough to agree to do our CD, our Magic Miracle Music CD for the kids at Riley Hospital for Children, making a dream of mine come true that I could actually do a CD in my radio career. But the artists love it. You know, they love everything about your facility, but the big thing is those urinals. They just, whoa, did you see, you know?
I never thought in my business career I'd be talking about restrooms and urinals, but
it would just be part of our everyday conversation. They also, of course, 9 times out of 10 are a customer of Sweetwater Sound. And whether they're living in Florida or Texas or L.A. or Seattle, as many of the music scenes start from, they are oftentimes already have a sales rep located at your company.
Yeah, we have customers all over the country, actually all over the world, but we kind of focus in the U.S. And it even stuns me, as long as I've been in this business, and there are so many great customers. I don't even know the biggest of the big names that we do business with, but they like doing business with us, and I'll just say thank you.
Yeah, exactly right. One of the other things they love, and this is a great story to tell, but they come in and they'll go, and they've invariably forgotten something because musicians aren't exactly the most organized people in their heads, right?
Now, be careful here.
And so invariably they've forgotten something. And so, of course, you know, you have it all right there, which is wonderful. And the other part, though, is that we can get them in. We can get them recorded. We can't get them out.
I like that. That's the way it should be.
We can't get them out. Can we stay and shop? Yeah, shop to your heart's content. Make sure you take home a catalog. Here's your sales rep. Or we did have one band that said, we've been on the road for a while. Could we stay and play some of your video games? I think they stayed for the whole afternoon.
That was one of the things that we wanted to do with the campus is to make it comfortable. And you mentioned the video games. There's a whole arcade area with all kinds of video games. There's pool table, foosball table. There's a golf simulator. We do breakfast and lunch with a fabulous cafeteria.
Oh, yeah.
Just lots of nice things to do. And we don't tell the Fort Wayne community very often, but it's completely open to the public.
I try. I'm on a personal crusade.
Thank you.
Everyone needs to go out and see how beautiful that building is. All the excitement and energy that's happening right there on US 30. The fact that any semi can roll across that highway and you do not feel a rumble in any part of that building, including the sound studio. I love telling the story. I really do.
One of the fun stories about our recording studio, it was designed by a very famous acoustician, a man out of Dallas, Texas, and he's done about 3,000 recording studios and filming rooms and all that, from Whitney Houston to NFL Films, Sony. And when I was getting ready to do the building, I said, Russ, I'm a little concerned because Highway 30 is right here and the trucks with their big brakes and that sound they make when they stop. Am I going to have a problem with noise? And he says, nah, Chuck, I build studios in downtown New York with subways, so that's not a problem at all. And I trusted Russ. He was very experienced and great reputation. But the very first day the studio was open for business, we had a client from Northwest Indiana, a women's college that we'd done a lot of recordings with. We set them in the middle of the recording room with a $15,000 microphone, and they were recording their vocals. And I was just learning to fly my helicopter at the time. So I had my instructor with me, and we hovered over our building, and you could not hear the helicopter into this $15,000 microphone.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a room built within a room. And so you're absolutely right. You don't hear trucks. You don't hear thunderstorms. It's kind of eerie sometimes. It's so quiet in there.
It's very impressive.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
impressive.
You.
This is Sunday Side Up. We've got more with Chuck and Sweetwater Sound coming up after this.
Sunday Side Up is heard each week on WAJI-FM and WLDE-FM Fort Wayne, both proudly owned by Sarkis Tarzian Incorporated.
Good morning, everybody. Back to the second half of Sunday Side Up and more with Sweetwater Sound, Chuck Surak, who founded the company. Any plans to take it public?
You know, actually, there are no plans to take it public. I know a lot of companies do that. I've had a lot of friends take their businesses public, and that's usually good for the top couple people of the company. But then it's probably not so good for the community, and I think we've had examples of that even around here. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that I have all the material goods that my wife and family could ever need or want. So there's no financial reason for me to take it public. And what we actually enjoy and celebrate is what we're able to do in the community by giving back to those organizations. We celebrate all the new babies that are born in our company. We celebrate new homes and new cars. And I'm afraid some of that stuff would go away if we took the company public. So I hate to say never, but that's as close as I'll ever get to never. I really don't think so.
You spoke of an expansion. Is it more warehouse space, more office space, a little bit of both?
It's all of the above. It's a pretty big building, about 120,000 square feet. It's two stories. There is a big warehouse component to it, and then room for salespeople. But probably even more exciting to me is we have a music academy where we teach young people how to play instruments. We teach guitar and keyboards and vocals and drums and a lot of the music technology that we sell. And we have about 400 students a week coming through our building now, but we need room for more. And so we're building a brand new music academy and some more conference rooms. And we use our conference rooms throughout the whole building to share again with the community. So we tell all the nonprofit organizations they're welcome to use our boardroom, our conference room, even our theater. If we're not using it, I'd rather it be used by the community, and it really helps some of those organizations. So we're building some of that kind of space in this new building.
That's great. We have utilized with Riley Hospital for Children a couple of times for our annual luncheon, and it really is a great space. And back to that luncheon thing, I had the tilapia last Friday. Oh my gosh, it was great. Five-star chef, four-star, whatever, he's fabulous.
It's actually she.
Oh,
it's okay. A she, and she is amazing. Her name's Belinda. I had the same fish.
Wait, are my Belinda is the head chef?
Absolutely.
She has always been so good to my, when I bring artists through, she rolls out the red carpet. What a great hostess and great representative of that.
Belinda's amazing, and she's a great example of the kind of people we have at Sweetwater.
Oh, wow. She's just really, really special. I had no idea.
But yeah, I'm very thankful to have her.
Again, the cafeteria, you can go. You could have a little bit of lunch. You could have a little bit of breakfast. Enjoy the facility. Go through the retail store. They let you play with the drums.
Take a tour. There's self-guided tours, or we have a concierge woman, Julie, that will help you and show you all around the place.
And you all expanded into the pianos, too, which is taking up a big space in your lobby.
It is taking a big space in our lobby, and the ultimate plan when this new building's done, we'll be able to expand our store. We're going to free up some of our current space, expand our store, and be able to move the pianos into there. The pianos were not part of the original plan, but it was an opportunity that came to us a couple years ago when David Myers of Fred Myers Piano had a chance to retire. He came to us and said, "Would you like the Yamaha piano franchise?" And which seems to be how we've gotten a lot of our lines. The manufacturer or individuals have offered them to us.
Smart move on David Myers' part and his love for the piano to keep it going here.
Yeah, and it's done really well. It wasn't exactly our business, and pianos in homes are not as popular as they used to be. But where we are still very successful at selling pianos are into schools and churches and again, we loan them out for fundraisers and that sort of thing. It's done really well.
And a special event with Elton John lately.
Oh, that was fun. That was just a couple weeks ago. I happened to be in California to see it live, but we were able to rebroadcast Elton live from Anaheim, California into our theater. And when he would play the piano with some amazing technology, he would play the piano in California and it would literally play the piano on our stage out on Highway 30.
It is so cool.
It was amazing.
That is so cool. I hope we get to do some other things like that in the
Actually, Yamaha has this technology where they can make pianos play another piano remotely all around the world, and they're wanting to do a whole series of concerts. So I think we'll see that over the next year or two.
That'd be kind of cool. Assembly Hall in Bloomington, you had a little hand in that renovation. What happened down there?
Well, Assembly Hall, I mean, what a historic and amazing facility, and particularly a lot of fun this year. But they had the same sound system in that building since 1971. And as we've talked about technology changing, it's also changed in the sound system point of view. And I got word that they were looking to possibly change the sound system. Right now, Coach Tom Crean can kind of get almost anything he wants down there. And
if not, his wife can with being a Harbaugh, right?
That is absolutely correct. So when the word got out that they were looking to do a sound system, I immediately raised my hand and said, we'd like to help do that. I'm a big fan of IU, and actually, they came last spring and gave me an honorary doctorate degree. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm very blessed. But so I own another company down in Florida, and we partnered with our company in Florida and installed this amazing sound system. And when you hear 18,000 people screaming in that hall and our sound system can get a little bit louder so you can hear what the announcements are, it's amazing even to me. But
and when did you put it in?
That's the amazing story. Normally, to put a sound system in like that takes 6, 8, 9 months.
Oh, yeah.
We had less than 4 weeks from start to finish, from ordering the equipment to installing it. We had to work through the night. We would put, we'd come in at 5 or 6 o'clock, put plywood on the practice floor or the floor. We would work all through the night, and that's a very, very tall facility. And so we had lifts and scaffolding to go in there, work through the night, and then we'd have to clear the plywood back off in the morning so the basketball players could practice all day. But it was 3 weeks from start to finish from putting the whole thing in.
Wow.
So and they are just thrilled with it.
So next time you're down at Assembly Hall, think Sweetwater Sound. So, and you're good friends with John Tesh, or at least you've done a couple of projects with John.
John is a great customer of ours, one of our better customers, actually. And he calls us for every bit of his musical needs. And, you know, I get to see him once or twice a year at various trade shows and that sort of thing. Great man.
Yeah, and speaking of trade shows, you do a major gear fest, usually the end of June, and it has a major economic impact here on the city.
It's kind of funny. We started it about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago as a way to share the equipment more with our local musicians and local customers, and it has just exploded. We had 6,000 people at our facility last year. It has become the largest show of anything like it in the whole United States for end users or for musicians to come to.
Wow.
There's a music dealer show that's bigger, but only dealers are allowed to go to that. This is the only one that musicians can come to of this size and caliber, and we expect this year is going to be even bigger.
Wow, so like South by Southwest isn't
Well, that's not so much about equipment. That's about selling music. This is really about using and learning how to use the equipment, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a great time, too. Another reason to visit Sweetwater is during Gear Fest because it's fascinating. And you have all of the reps come in, and you can really learn a lot of things. You usually do a special session, special concert speaker.
Yeah, we have 2 days of seminars, several different tracks of seminars. We have about 250 vendors. We have some big stars come in. Last year, we had Thomas Dolby. There's a couple names that are being floated right now that I can't quite talk about, but should be just as big.
Yeah.
And everything's completely free. It's Friday and Saturday, the third weekend of June.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about you support many nonprofits. You said 400 nonprofits here in the area that you support. But you've also done a great service to Fort Wayne by buying some businesses here in town, including Smithfield.
I didn't actually buy Smithfield, but I bought the flight school at Smithfield. About a year and a half ago, there was a catastrophic accident, Dr. Hatch, and sadly,
so sad.
And soon after his accident, his estate came to me and said, would you be interested in buying our flight school or his flight school? And I said, no, not really. There's no money in aviation, and that's a tough business.
Yeah.
And especially since the recession in 2008, flight schools and aviation in general have been pretty bad. And they said, would you come talk to us? And I said, okay, sure. So I talked to him, and what I found, there was a great young man and his wife that were running the company. And they had about 10 other part-time and full-time employees at the time. And I discovered that through all the years that he'd been running it, they'd never lost money. Never made any money, but never lost money. And I thought that was a pretty good sign. And I loved, they were just great people, and I hated to see the jobs go away. And so I was able to acquire the business, frankly, basically for the price of all the airplanes. And in a year and a half, we've been able to turn it around, and we've hired several more employees. Every month has been better than the month before. We've had 18 months of record months, and we're just about 6-8 weeks away from moving into a new building. And so it's a lot of fun. And that's, you know, we're able to sell the dreams of music at Sweetwater, and here's the dreams of flying. And it is so fun to see people get their private license or even just do a flight by themselves.
Common thread here between both, though, is better employees.
Absolutely. Great employees.
I mean, again, you ignite that passion in other people. They're your customer, and they'll keep coming back and again. And then they ignite other people. I mean, it just snowballs.
If you don't have customer service, I don't know what you have. And you're no different than your competitors. And I believe, on the other hand, if you have customer service, you're completely different.
Well, it's true. There was an article in Time Magazine, just read it this week, about how companies are not giving customer service and they're making it such a big hassle for you to resolve any issues or problems or move away from their company. They were talking a little bit about cable companies and cell phone companies, that people just don't want the hassle. And it's just going down the tubes. I love great customer service. I recently purchased a couple things out at the store from you guys. I love the little bags of candy.
Kind of our trademark, if you will. We've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
We want customers for life. We want the referrals. I don't really care about making money on one transaction. I just want to always do the right thing. And that's what we teach all the employees, and it's worked really well for us.
Yeah. Can we get you to run the government?
That's one I don't think I will do. I think that's a difficult job.
It is, but hopefully they'll get it right sooner than later. So what about your hands in some other businesses here around Fort Wayne? Of course, Sweet Cars there on Jefferson Boulevard.
Yes. Again, Sweet Cars was more of an economic thing. I looked at the old Allen County Motors building, and it was pretty run down at the time. And I looked at how many people were going downtown. And this is right when the ballpark was being built. And I thought, this is the gateway to our community. And if I could, again, take a leadership position and encourage some investment and development downtown, that's what I wanted to do. So I have a hobby of cars, and I thought my hobby would transfer over to this. I have to say, that hasn't 2.5 years later. I've never bought a car from Sweet Cars. I've never even taken a car home from Sweet Cars because once we get them all cleaned up and so ready to sell, I hate to make them dirty again.
Yeah.
But it was, again, I had the dream and the passion for it, and I wanted to do something different than some of the other car dealerships in town. And like I say, use that old building. And so today we have about 8 employees there and just 8 more jobs. And I think every job we can add is helping the community and helping those individuals. And we're doing something a little different, a little higher-end car or a little more fun car. There's some inexpensive ones also, but just cars that are more fun that you wouldn't typically find at the local dealership. And if we don't have what you want, we'll find it for you. And we have a couple people that are really good at finding them all over the country.
I think it's great fun just to, when I drive by or run by, I look at to see what's on the lot. And I'm like, oh, that looks cool. Ooh, that might be fun for a test drive. Ooh, that'd be cool to have.
Absolutely. And again, we've tried to engage that business into the community. I went by Saturday morning. I actually had forgotten. But we had a free breakfast, and there were probably 125 people there with their cars and just having the breakfast. We've used the facility for fundraisers again and other ways to give back, clubs to meet, that sort of thing.
And every time you're giving back, you're also creating a good economic base here in Fort Wayne by bringing people in from out of town with spend money on food and lodging and things like that.
Absolutely. About half the cars we've sold outside of the Fort Wayne market. So in every case, either there's a truck driving company that's sending the cars there, or the customers coming out here to see it. And you're right, spending money at our restaurants and our hotels and that sort of thing.
It's so great to have you so enthusiastic about the city of Fort Wayne.
I love Fort Wayne.
I know. I do too. I just don't understand why, you know, you read these headlines and I'm always like, just twist it around to be a positive. Wouldn't that do everybody more good?
Oh, now you're going to get on my soapbox. That's one of my pet peeves.
Of us journalists? Go ahead. Give it to me, Chuck.
I don't want to do that. But I do think our newspapers have a responsibility in this community to be supportive. And they're a member of our community too. And I think sometimes the headlines are absolutely different than what the stories are or what the meeting was that I sat through. And I would strongly encourage them to be a little more positive. And, you know, when a business thinks about coming to Fort Wayne, one of the things they do is they, or the headhunters or whoever's coming here, they start Googling Fort Wayne and they look at headlines and they go, oh boy, there's controversy about something in Fort Wayne. Maybe I don't want to move there. And so I think it's important that we all try and be upbeat and realistic, but upbeat about the opportunity.
What else are you looking forward to in the future?
I'm looking forward to the next expansion of downtown Fort Wayne. It was fun to see Harrison Square get built. One of those that was kind of controversial at first.
Are you moving into either one?
Oh, I wish I could. No.
You have a young daughter still, though.
I do.
She
needs
a backyard.
I have a six-year-old daughter, and she has a swing set and all those sorts of things. I thought about buying one just to be able to house some of our guests and stuff, and that still may happen. And my vice president at Sweetwater just bought a place downtown. So
I heard he took it out from under the mayor.
Oh, the mayor likes to say that. I don't know if that's true or not.
That's not. He was all good.
So I know I'm very excited about downtown.
I am too.
And I know there's several other things that are just at the beginning stages, some other catalytic kind of projects. And
I had Sister Elison from University of St. Francis, and she enlightened us on some of the art corridor that they're talking about, which, again, great benefit to downtown Fort Wayne. So.
Oh, what they're doing downtown is great to help anchor that west side of Fort Wayne, and I'm real excited, and we got involved to help support their program, too.
Yeah. Well, you keep bringing up the word blessing, and I think you and I have that in common, that we both feel very blessed with our lives and very blessed to be where we're at this point in our lives. But let me, as we wrap up here, just say that our community is blessed to have you.
Thank you.
And your family and your company and your vision. So thank you very much for all that you do, all that you bring to the community and your involvement with the nonprofits. And we're really glad that you were really thinking and on your toes that night with that little helicopter accident.
Thank you. Some of that was press. It wasn't quite as bad as the press made it out to be.
Well, whatever.
But thank you. I do appreciate it.
Chuck Surak from Sweetwater Sound, we encourage you to stop by. Check them out online, too. They do so much for this community. Very, very lucky to have them. And we're very lucky to have you listening to our radio station this morning. Thank you ever so much. This is Sunday Side Up.
Thanks for tuning in for Sunday Side Up with your host, Barb Richards. The views expressed in the show are not necessarily those of Sarkis Tarzian Management. For comments or questions, please contact the station directly.